Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Here we are live. Going live today because tomorrow I'm going to be at my kids' school board meeting raising hell about moronic mask mandates in the hope they use some common sense and leave it to parents' choice whether or not they're going to mask our kids or not. That's happening all over the place. I'll share that with you next week. But yeah, the show's going to continue weekly. Thursdays, 9 p.m. Next week, we'll be back on Thursday. Remember, support the show. You know, like, share, follow, subscribe, comment, wherever you're watching on or listening. Or on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook. And you can get all the social media over at the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. And my first live show from last week was removed by YouTube for medical misinformation because we were talking about, you know, jab mandates. Apparently, it's a complete no-no now. First time I've ever had a video removed off YouTube, and that was last week, the first live video that they removed. So it probably won't be the last. So, yeah, eat shit, YouTube. How about that? They'll probably remove this one, too. All right. The Taliban is back, baby. They are back. Joe Biden has successfully built back better. He has built back better the Taliban in Afghanistan in record time. Short, was it like 11 days? He's been in office with a little more than 200. So yeah, he did a good job doing that. Moron. There are so many moving parts here, though. I mean, it's happening as we speak. There's just so much. We've had our military in Afghanistan for 20 long years. We've spent trillions of dollars. We've lost over 2,000 American military lives in battle, with tens of thousands more veterans wounded for life. And for what? To hand a sand-filled cesspool back to the terrorists that we went there 20 years ago to eradicate. It took the Taliban less than 15 days, I think it's 11 days, to take over the country once we left, or at least downsize to about a force of 1,000. Oh, and we gave them billions of dollars in weapons and technology, aircraft, tanks, to use in battle against our allies, the Afghan people, and possibly our military down the road, because I have a funny feeling, I'm sure a lot of you do, that we will be back there at some point soon. First, let me say, and this is my opinion, obviously, I think we've been in Afghanistan much too long. But with that being said, because we're in so deep there, we just can't pull out abruptly like we were there to make a quick food delivery. Should we have stayed there and got sucked into it, attempting to rebuild a nation for Afghanistan? No, I don't think so. Absolutely not. I believe that was a losing battle from the get-go. We should have been in and out 20 years ago, made our point, you know, aggressively, forcefully, did what we had to do as our military would, bomb the appropriate targets to show the terrorists of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban that we're not going to tolerate any terrorism against the American people after September 11th, 2001. Unfortunately, George Bush was the president at the time, and he had other plans and royally screwed us with his Afghanistan and Middle East policies. And we got stuck there. We got sucked in. We got overwhelmed. And we started just, hey, we're gonna form a government. We're going to train your military. We're going to form a nation, which we never should have done. So now we're here, 20 years later. We have a weak president who's always been on the wrong side of foreign policy. Joe Biden, when he was vice president, I'm sure everyone remembers this, he was against the mission to go and kill Osama bin Laden. And now he sits there and he hypocritically boasts about it like he was part of the decision to go get him. He was against it. He didn't want to go. Again, wrong side of foreign policy. Wrong again, Sleepy Joe. Oh, and by the way, you know, hey, Joe Biden, the Taliban just beat the U.S. government without F-15s or nukes. So let everybody know how your vacation's going. It's just unfathomable what's going on. Donald Trump successfully brokered peace treaties in the Middle East, and he had a plan to he had a plan to bring our troops home in a methodical way. He was going to downsize, I think maybe leave a small contingency there. He was going to bring the weapons and equipment home, which, you know, now the Taliban has, thanks to us, and they have some amazing weaponry now. But the Taliban knew that Trump wasn't messing around. They knew if they stepped out of line, they would feel the wrath of the United States military. Trump was very upfront saying, we'll make this deal. When he was president, we will make this deal when we pull out. And if you're not going to abide by this deal, we're going to bomb the crap out of you. He made no mistake, no bones about it. He didn't beat around the bush. And they knew that. But as soon as the Taliban knew Trump was leaving office, they sat and they waited, because time does not matter to the Taliban. The Taliban says it all the time when they're broadcasting from caves or whatever, wherever they're broadcasting from, and that they still say it, that their goal is to take over the world with the rule of Islam, their rule of Islam, Sharia law. And they have all the time in the world to wait and do it, because that is their goal. That's what they believe. They believe women have no place in society. Women can't travel, imprisoned in their home. Girls will be slaves. Gays will be killed. And any the homosexual, the gay community there, that, you know, they'll kill them by stoning or being crushed or being thrown off rooftops. Although I don't think they throw them off rooftops anymore. They crush them with walls and stone them to death. Yeah. This is what Joe Biden allowed to be unleashed on the Afghani people, and then blamed the Afghani government for not fighting and defending their country, which I do have to say, in a sense, I hate to use the word agree when Joe Biden says something. The Afghani people, their military of, what was it, 300,000, completely collapsed in 11 days. They had no heart, no drive, no competency of defending their country. But then you look at the evacuation planes and you see all of these young, military-aged, fighting-age men jumping on planes. You didn't see any women, and then we're bringing thousands of them to the United States. We'll talk about that. Why aren't they picking up weapons and trying to defend their country, trying to defend their families? There are regions in Afghanistan where they have, from what I was reading today, a contingency of about 10,000 fighters, Afghani people, that are trying to stand up to the Taliban terrorists. I think we know how that's going to end. I agree. We should not be there fighting the Afghani people's war forever. That's not what we should have been there for. But for the United States not to have a presence in Afghanistan is just asking for disaster globally. It's a place of strength. Now, what the president had said is, we're basically just going to sit around and wait for intelligence to say, well, the Taliban has made a safe haven once again for al-Qaeda. That's inevitable. That will happen. It's already happening. They're already talking about it today, that al-Qaeda is coming back. Taliban is going to provide protection. Taliban is going to lie to everybody. They can't be trusted. But apparently our government is trusting in some of the things they say, which we know is complete ridiculous. It's lunacy. It's idiotic. Joe Biden is allowing Afghanistan to become a breeding ground and headquarters for evil terrorist organizations to freely plan, as best they can, its eventual attack on whether America, the Afghani people, and allies or just other parts of the world. Why? There are so many unanswered questions, and Joe Biden's not answering any questions. Two briefings so far, and he turned his back on everybody. He did not answer any questions. They're not allowing him to. But why couldn't we at least maintain Bagram Air Base there with a small battalion of troops to ensure the safety of America at the very least? That is, they say that's the most strategic place in the Middle East to have military forces is that Bagram Air Base, which we completely gave up with the prison there, with high-profile prisoners that are now free. I'm not a military strategist. I've never been in the military. But as a concerned American, and from even people that I know in the military and spoke to, like I think I'd feel safer. Most people would feel safer knowing we had assets in Afghanistan for the just in case to hopefully keep that terrorist threat suppressed to a point. I mean, we have assets all over the world. I was talking to people today. They don't even realize the assets we have around the world. We built a $700 million embassy in Afghanistan that the Taliban most likely right now is probably sitting in taking selfies of because Joe Biden completely abandoned it, which Joe Biden specifically said would not happen. He said that. As a matter of fact, we have some video of some of the things he said back in July. So let's listen to this incompetent buffoon. Last month, he told America that the Taliban won't take over Afghanistan. Can we play the Biden video from July, please?
Mr. President, thank you very much. Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Can you please clarify what they have told you about whether that will happen or not?
That is not true. They did not reach that conclusion.
So what is the level of confidence that they have that it will not collapse?
The Afghan government and leadership has to come together. They clearly have the capacity to sustain the government in place. The question is, will they generate the kind of cohesion to do it? It's not a question of whether they have the capacity. They have the capacity. They have the forces. They have the equipment. The question is, will they do it? And I want to make clear what I made clear to Ghani, that we are not going to walk away and not sustain their ability to maintain that force.
President, thank you. But we have talked to your own top general in Afghanistan, General Scott Miller. He told ABC News, the conditions are so concerning at this point that it could result in a civil war. So if Kabul falls to the Taliban, what will the United States do about it?
Look.
Nothing.
You've said two things. One, that if it could result in a civil war, that's different than the Taliban succeeding, number one. Number two, the question of what will be done is going to be implicated, is going to implicate the entire region as well. There's a number of countries that have a grave concern about what's going to happen in Afghanistan relative to their security.
Some Vietnamese veterans see echoes of their experience in this withdrawal in Afghanistan. Do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam with some people feeling?
None whatsoever. Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. Six, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comparable.
How can you listen to this man and not realize what a buffoon, an imbecile that he really is? Everything he said in that video a month ago, the opposite happened, and it happened almost immediately. It happened immediately. We're not going to evacuate the embassy from the rooftops. That's exactly what they did. They abandoned. He let go a $700 million embassy, the United States embassy in Afghanistan. Is no longer. We do not have an embassy there. This was worse than Saigon in the 70s during Vietnam, and the similarities are uncanny. As a matter of fact, can we bring up the evacuation photo, please? Look at this photo. The left side, that's Saigon when America fled the country. There's the helicopter on top of it. It was either the embassy and then down the helicopter on the apartment building. And then on the right, there's the helicopter, Afghanistan embassy, the embassy in Afghanistan. And there is one of the images of people desperately trying to flee the airport on commercial jetliners. Do you see the similarities here with the evacuation of the Saigon embassy and the embassy in Kabul? Biden was a senator during Vietnam. This photo right here, these photos together, they will be historic. The Vietnam, the Saigon photos are historic photos. This now will be historic. And you know what? This photo would make a great campaign commercial. You have Joe Biden in July saying that we would never have to evacuate the embassy in Kabul like we did in Saigon. And then poof, there you go. There's the Chinook, the modernized Chinook helicopter landing on the embassy roof in Kabul, doing the same thing they did in Saigon. Biden specifically said this would not happen, that we would not be picking people off the roof of the embassy. Boom, look at that, Sleepy Joe. It happened, just as if you said it wasn't going to happen. Now you can get rid of this. All of this went on while Biden was on vacation. He goes on vacation. He's at Camp David. He's either at Camp David or he's in Delaware. He doesn't want to tell anybody where he is or who he's visiting with. He's probably hanging out with Hunter Biden's art clients, you know, Access to Daddy. Maybe they were all smoking Parmesan cheese together. He let an entire weekend go by with all of this chaos happening. All this chaos ensues in Afghanistan. All this happens before he decides to address the nation on Monday afternoon. In a speech that, in a briefing that gave America no solid information, no answers to questions, and left the entire country and the world in the dark on what's going to happen next in this massive scramble, because he doesn't even know. All he told us was Trump made bad decisions and that he's been around a long time. Well, he's a career politician. And he was not going to hand off this war to a fifth president. We know it could have been different. It could have been done a lot differently. We know it could have been done a lot better, which Biden says it couldn't. It could not have been handled better. This guy's unbelievable. I'm not going to subject you to his remarks on Monday or his briefing on what happened, because they're just moronic. It's babbling. You can look it up if you want. It's all over the place to hear him babble. Well, look it up on YouTube. He says nothing. And then he just walks off. He turns his back on reporters. The American press is sitting in the room screaming his name, trying to get answers for the American people. And he turns his back and he walks off and he gets back on Marine One, gets back on his helicopter, and he goes back to continue his vacation. And what's interesting is, where is the vice president in all this? Because the vice president, if you notice, every briefing he gives, everything he does, she's shadowing the president. She's right behind him. She's nowhere to be found. She wasn't at the first briefing. She wasn't at the second briefing that happened today. Where is anyone on this? It's absolute lunacy. And, you know, sorry we had to disturb your vacation, Mr. President. Can we bring up the Harris-Biden photo, please? This is one of my favorites that's passing around. Here you go. Here you go. We did it, Joe. We did it. Stuffing his face with ice cream. Let's evacuate the embassy. Let's give up our foothold in protecting the world against terror. Let's pack up like little girls and run with our toys. Well, we'll leave our toys behind. And there's cackling Kamala. Joe Biden has abandoned our allies in Afghanistan and other parts of the world. Did he? And I wonder, you have to wonder at any time, did he actually think about what the repercussions might be to other surrounding areas? What about Israel? You can get rid of these two clowns, please. What about Israel? Our biggest and only true ally in the Middle East. At least we knew, and Israel knew, and most of our allies in globally in the world knew for 20 years that the terror threat to Israel, maybe globally to America, was controllable having assets in Afghanistan. Like I said a few minutes ago, we have military assets everywhere. We have 200 plus military bases all over the world. We have 300,000 plus military personnel deployed in Europe alone at any given time, right now. In Japan, we maintain more than 50,000 deployed troops. It's the largest forward deployed U.S. force anywhere in the world. And we have almost 30,000 military personnel in South Korea as a major presence for the Asia-Pacific area. And we have another 7,000 military personnel that's on a rotational deployment in Africa. Instead, we have this complete abandonment, just like in Saigon, and I think it was 75, where we fled the country. We have all those assets all over the world to, as a presence, as a show of force, because we are the show of power on the world stage. Why couldn't we leave troops to maintain Bagram Air Base? Why couldn't we leave troops to maintain the Afghani Air Force? And not to mention the billions of dollars in military equipment that we just handed over to the Taliban like a hand-me-down bicycle. We're done with this. Here you go. Black Hawk helicopters, Apaches, tanks, drones, missiles, guns, ballistic equipment, grenades, but everything you can imagine, weapons of war, we have given to the Taliban. Just, here you go. No problem. This is on us. Merry Christmas. And Trump's plan to leave, his plan was to, when we were going to leave Afghanistan when he was president, he was not going to leave all of the equipment. He was either going to downsize and leave some military assets there, or he was going to take the whatever American citizens out and the weaponry and military equipment and not leave thousands of Humvees and hundreds of Black Hawk helicopters for the taking. He was going to do it methodically. He was going to maintain our $700 million embassy in Afghanistan. We were going to have diplomats there, members of the intelligence community, boots on the ground. Biden even said that we were not going to abandon the Afghani government and the Afghani military, and we did. He lied about that, too. Granted, the president of Afghanistan, Ghani, he got on a helicopter with four cars loaded with cash, and he got out of town. I don't know where he ended up. He out of the country. And Trump would have maintained our foothold in this and in the terrorist-riddled Middle East. And would have continued protection for our allies. Israel, that whole region, which I feel is vulnerable right now. We abandoned the embassy. Can you pull up the embassy flag photo, please? This is a military serviceman, army serviceman in a helicopter. And that flag that he's holding, which he, in the heat of the moment, folded, was flying above the embassy, on the roof of the embassy. So they abandoned the embassy, and they took the flag. I mean, that is a sick photo. We just folded up. We folded up, and we just got out of there. Oh, we left tens of thousands of American citizens that are still struggling trying to get to the airport, which our State Department says they can't guarantee their safety or security. All right, you can get rid of that. That's a historic photo. Here it is. Here's the last hurrah. Here's the flag from the embassy. And I don't know what Israel is thinking. They have to think how weak America has become. Hamas, who hates Israel, the Gaza Strip, they're publicly celebrating America's defeat in Afghanistan, because that's exactly what it is. We were defeated. We were basically run out of the country. America was defeated in Afghanistan because of one man, Joe Biden. In handing over Bagram Air Base, Joe Biden gave them high-profile terrorist prisoners that were in jail there that the Taliban, As soon as they got in, they freed them, they handed them guns, and they had them start running the show, taking over the country. Running from prisoner to running the show. You don't think those prisoners and those terrorists, those members of the Taliban, you don't think they want revenge on America? You don't think they're going to try? I have a family member that worked as a military prison guard at Bagram. And let me tell you, especially the stories I've heard, those prisoners want and will attempt to get their revenge on America one way or another. They're chanting death to America in the streets in front of CNN reporters, a female CNN reporter, who were there reporting about it, telling us, this is great, telling us that they're chanting death to America, but are friendly at the same time. Like, you have to ask yourself, is this real life? Is this really happening? CNN. Can we play the CNN video, please?
As soon as we leave our compound, it's clear who is now in charge. Taliban fighters have flooded the capital. Smiling and victorious, they took this city of 6 million people in a matter of hours, barely firing a shot.
This is a sight I honestly thought I would never see. Scores of Taliban fighters, and just behind us, the U.S. Embassy compound.
Some carry American weapons. They tell us they're here to maintain law and order. Everything is under control. Everything will be fine, the commander says. Nobody should worry.
What's your message to America right now?
America already spent enough time in Afghanistan. They need to leave, he tells us. They already lost lots of lives and lots of money. People come up to them to pose for photographs.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. It's utterly bizarre.
Utterly bizarre. They're chanting death to America, but they're friendly at the same time. One, how does an American woman CNN reporter not get killed in the street by these animals? You know, I don't know. Do you think the Taliban would treat reporters from other news outlets like that? Like, do you think they would be cordial to reporters from, say, Fox or Right Side Broadcasting News or OAN or Newsmax or the Epoch Times? The CNN Communist News Network is right there with the Taliban reporting live, and everything's okay. They even did ride-alongs. They've ridden along many times with Taliban patrols. It's just bizarro world out there. CNN. It's true. The Communist News Network. So we flee Afghanistan like we're running from a tornado. Emergency evacuating the embassy like Saigon. You know, allowing the Taliban to stop women from attending colleges. Which, by the way, at the time, right before the Taliban took control, days ago, the university enrollment in Afghanistan was 60% women. Women were, for the last 20 years, women were embracing their rights and freedoms under Afghani law with us there by their side. But Afghanistan themselves, the Afghani law, the women were employed like it was back in the day, back past 20 years ago and even further. But no more. Women are now immediately, they all showed up for school. Taliban was there and turned them away. This is no more school for you. Go home. They were turned away from school. They were turned away from work. They are shunned by society, imprisoned in their home again. But they lie and say they're going to respect women's rights. But they're all over the city of Kabul and other places where they actually have beauty salons. And on the front of the beauty salons, there's pictures of Afghani women and with I get different hairstyles and things. One of the first things they did is they went around and big murals of women on these beauty salons. They spray painted over them and covered their faces. Yeah, they're going to respect women's rights. They're going door to door, the Taliban. They're going door to door, pulling young Afghani girls out of homes at 12 years old, forcing them into sex slavery. They're going around door to door making lists of young unmarried women from like the ages of 14 up to in their 40s so they can force them to marry Taliban fighters. And when their fathers or whoever try to defend their daughters, they're getting their heads cut off by the Taliban. They're getting executed in the street by the Taliban. 11 days, people. They're out hunting for journalists and U.S. allies or Afghani interpreters that helped the United States military for 20 years who are still in the country, who can't get to the airport. They're hunting them, and in some cases, they're not hunting them and killing them right away. They're showing up with a smile, and they're telling them that they're going to be back for them when the United States is completely out of the country, which, by the way, the Taliban gave the American military an ultimatum and the government and says, you must be out of country by September 11th. Yeah, they're giving us an ultimatum. So, you know, it's, we still have thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands now, apparently. We still have tens of thousands of non-military American citizens and allies that are stranded there with no way out. And some can't get, most can't get to the airport to evacuate. Commercial flights are leaving now that aren't full. People can't come. The State Department sent out an email to American citizens saying, you know, if you decide to make the trek to the airport in Kabul, we can't guarantee safe passage. Basically, and they're not answering whether they're going to go and get these people or not. Right now, they're actually saying they don't have the capabilities to go out and search for people and get them. American citizens stranded in Afghanistan and their own government, our government, we're not coming for them. You know, we have these drones that have these, you know, they're so strategic and accurate. We can blow up a paperclip on a paper plate, but we can't take out terrorist cells of what's going on and go in and send in special forces and the Marines and the Navy SEALs to go and extract American citizens. They can't guarantee their safety. Can you imagine? Like, is our military eventually going to go on search missions for these people? U.S. citizens, some U.S. allies. Again, our government really won't be straight with us with that. We deployed, I think, 6,000 troops to assist in evacuating. We sent more troops there to evacuate than we were supposed to keep in the country originally. And I'm sure you've seen the video clips going around. I'm going to play them of desperate Afghani citizens stampeding the airport in Kabul, trying to get on any aircraft to flee the country, just overrunning the airport. Thousands of people trying to flee a place that if they know they stay in, if they stay behind in Afghanistan, they will die or become enslaved by the Taliban. And people are clinging to military airplane landing gear. And either a few of them have fell from the sky. One they just found out, hundreds of feet in the air, he fell from the sky. He was 17 years old. 17-year-old Afghani kid. Just falling to their death. To the ground from hundreds of feet, or they're getting stuck in the retracting landing gear. The bodies are getting stuck. It's mayhem. Watch this. Can we play the airport video, please? It's crazy. Stampeding through the airport. Ah. Panicking. And at this point, planes aren't going anywhere. Afghanistan,
Alhamdulillah.
Taliban control. In our Humvees. In American Humvees. In American Humvees.
Kabul padla kya ho gaya Arab.
Unbelievable. Couple things from this. I mean, first, can you imagine what has to be going through these Afghani civilian minds that they have to resort to this desperation, risk their lives clinging to a giant military aircraft where they actually have it in their head, maybe thinking that if they get a good enough grip, they can make it out of the country so they don't have to fall victim to these terrorists, the Taliban, who call themselves holy fighters. Remember on 9/11 when those people in the towers were jumping to their deaths to avoid being burned alive or suffocating on that thick, acrid smoke? It's like there's a similarity. The Taliban is so violent and ruthless that these people would rather risk dying in an instant to avoid either living their lives enslaved by the Taliban and being tortured and eventually killed by the Taliban. That is what the people in Afghanistan are worried about. They're worried about being enslaved. Women are worried about being killed. Young girls are worried about becoming sex slaves. Rights taken away. Tyrannical rule with violence. And we're over here worrying who's vaccinated or who's not, or who's wearing a diaper on their face or who's not. And the same mainstream media, CNN, that says the unvaccinated, they say that shouldn't be allowed to shop for food in grocery stores, are saying the Taliban is mostly friendly during their hostile takeover. They're chanting death on America, but they're mostly friendly. But how could this unfold all so fast? How could it happen so fast? What are we not seeing? What's not being reported? Yeah, what are we not being told? Well, we're not being told a lot. We know that. And how many of these Afghani refugees will end up in the United States unvetted and unchecked? Last I heard is thousands of them are heading to Texas, possibly Utah, other places, military bases. How many of these Afghani refugees are actually Taliban plants with the task of making their way to America for possibly something planned in the future? When I mean future, like I said, time is nothing to these people. They could wait a year. They get themselves settled. They could be your next door neighbor. And that's an Afghani refugee who escaped tyranny in Afghanistan. But that's really a terrorist cell, a Taliban terrorist cell who fooled everybody and was able to get here. Just like 9/11. Is it possible? Yeah, it's probably happening. And we're bringing military planes into this country loaded with hundreds of thousands of these Afghani refugees. And granted, I'm sure most of them are Afghani refugees, but don't tell me out of a plane that holds 150 people, supposed to hold 150 people, they have 650 people in it. Don't tell me at least one of them is not a possible terrorist cell for the Taliban. I mean, it's safe to say that there's a few mixed in. What are we going to do with them? Our government has a lot of problems on its hands. What are we doing with all of these people? And how many will end up in other countries and then end up coming to America through our unsecured southern border? And that's a possibility, because they are going to other countries. And then maybe they'll travel and they'll eventually be in South America, Guatemala, wherever they are, because they're coming through the southern border from all over the world. Over 70 countries, I believe they said that they've had people come through the border. I mean, we had Yemeni fighters coming through the border that they've caught. So what's to say they're not going to make their way, since they know that our southern border is completely unprotected, that they'll just come through the southern border? How many are terrorist cells? These are important questions, and they're very, very valid concerns. And it doesn't seem that our federal government is too concerned about it. They're just acting as if. They're fumbling all over themselves. Our president isn't talking to anybody. They're more concerned with Americans who wear MAGA hats, calling them domestic terrorists. None of this makes sense whatsoever. It's like living in the Twilight Zone. The Taliban is a savage, ruthless, and violent organization. That's what they are. They're killers. They protected Al-Qaeda, whatever you call them, Al-Qaeda, whatever. Terrorists, filthy animals. And they're going to breed. They're going to fester. They're going to gain strength. They're going to grow. They're going to lie to everybody. And we're just going to start all over again. The Taliban made it clear that gay Afghanis, the homosexual community, they will be killed either by stoning or crushed by what they say. They crushed them with a 10-foot wall. I don't think they throw them off rooftops anymore, but they used to. But CNN reports the way they do about the Taliban, mostly friendly in their forced takeover. CNN reports that. Oh, they're mostly friendly in their forced takeover while they publicly murder gays, which they're very proud of doing. That's how CNN reports. But CNN, the same mainstream media, they'll call Donald Trump a transphobe, a homophobe, and then they'll call all Republicans domestic terrorists racists. But the Taliban, they're mostly friendly, even though they're killing gays in the street, hanging people from bridges, crushing them, stoning them, beating women, killing women. The Afghani gay community, once again, like they did prior to our involvement in the country, once again, they'll be driven underground to avoid certain death. There's a Taliban judge last month. Yeah, apparently the Taliban has judges too. They got everything. You know, they're a sophisticated group of people. Government, they know how to run a competent government, apparently. I mean, that's what our government is making it seem like. So this Taliban judge, his name is Ghul Rahim. Ghul, he is a ghoul. Ghul Rahim. Back in July, just this year, he says that gay people will be subject to the death penalty when Sharia law returns to Afghanistan under Taliban control. Surprise, it's here, Taliban control. He said that was their goal and always will be. Sharia law, and that's their goal for all around the world. He said that there are only two penalties for gay people in Taliban territory. Only two. It's not that bad. Only two. This is where it was either stoning or they have to stand behind a 10-foot stone wall that falls on them, crushing them to death, which is just an odd way to do they have to keep building 10-foot walls? I don't know how that works. It's just whatever. It's horrific either way. Either way. And you have to sit there and get stoned to death because of who you love. So the Taliban judge also says, well, he says that the death penalty for gays and homosexuals, it's derived by it's derived from interpretations of the Quran, Islam's holy book, you know, the religion of peace. But I'll say this, though. We know that the Taliban, they have a very different interpretation of the Quran than the majority of Muslims. They completely misinterpret it. Can we put the photo of this Taliban judge up, please, that wants to kill all the gays? There he is. This is the coward Taliban judge that murders homosexuals. He's hiding hiding under his face covering. I'm surprised CNN isn't calling all of these savages responsible people for wearing face coverings to prevent the spread of the China virus. You're going to see some horrific things come out of Afghanistan in the next few months, without a doubt. And it's going to keep going until eventually we get involved again, if we do. I mean, you know, the question is who's going to report on it accurately. All right, get rid of this coward animal. You know, we have the LGBTQ community in America that lately has been ranting and raving. They don't have enough rights. They need laws to protect their rights. They're being discriminated against. Take a look at what the Taliban does to homosexuals in savage countries. You don't have to worry about that here. Nobody's running around smashing you in the head with pipes and stoning you. I mean, you have June, you have Gay Pride Month, you have a parade whenever you want it. You run around in your assless chaps with your rainbow flags. Okay? You have freedom of expression. You're not oppressed. Imagine living in Afghanistan and then now having to live your life underground. So do me a favor, all the LGBTQ community members out there, and I don't give a shit what you think of me. Stop being so dramatic. Take a look at what happens to gays in under Taliban control. Women under the Taliban regime, they have no rights at all. And prior to the Taliban, going back years and years ago, and even the last 20 years when they didn't have the Taliban didn't have control in Afghanistan, women, they had rights and they were protected under a law in Afghan society. Afghan women actually were given the right to vote back in the 1920s. And in the 1960s, the Afghan constitution, yeah, they have a constitution, it gave equality to women. And in the 70s, which wasn't long ago, women, it compromised. It was like over, I think it was 15% of Afghanistan's highest legislative body. In the 90s, it was like 70% of school teachers were women, 50% of government workers were women, and the college students, which up until just recently was 60% college admission, and 40%. Of doctors, 40% of doctors in Kabul, in the capital, were all women. They were all women. Under Sharia law and the Taliban's misinterpretation of Islamic law and the Quran, women are now, starting just days ago, and they swear it's not happening, but it is. It's obvious. There's videos everywhere. And that they're not going to not enforce Sharia law. They're again being stripped of every right that they've ever had back for the last 20 years. And right now, after our abrupt fleeing of the country, it's over for them. It's over for women. Women under Taliban rule, it's the worst human, it's got one of the worst human rights records in the world. Women under Taliban rule. They imprison women in their homes. They're denied access to basic health care. They're denied education. They can't work. They can't travel alone. And if they do travel alone, they can get flogged or stoned. And they're often forced into marriage or into sex slavery. I think it was just yesterday or today, a Afghan woman left her house without a burqa and she was shot dead in the street by a Taliban fighter. But they swear they're going to respect women's rights. It's all bullshit. It's all happening again now. Do we have to have sympathy for these people? I guess if you're have morals, yeah, you have to have sympathy for humanity. I mean, I don't understand how Afghanistan didn't stand up for itself. They have this 300,000 strong military that just collapsed, and they have men like little girls running to planes. Why did we evacuate young Afghani men first and not American citizens on military aircraft? And why are we not guaranteeing safety to American citizens stranded in Afghanistan? And again, why did we give up Bagram Air Base? And why did we give it up before we evacuated any American citizens? And why didn't we protect and secure our embassy with force like America should be doing? it's insanity. Joe Biden cannot effectively lead our country, and he just proved it 100% in the last 5 days. Joe Biden has given up completely our foothold in Afghanistan, abandoned the American embassy, and armed the Taliban to the teeth. We should have maintained full control of Bagram Air Base with a rotating troop deployment, just like in Africa or South Korea. It would have kept the United States in a position of strength in the region, and it would have assured our world allies and the rest of the world that we as a country should be taken seriously on the world stage. What have we become as a country in 7 months? We've become weak on the world stage. We've become weak in the eyes of our adversaries and our allies. Joe Biden can't be taken serious as a leader. 3.5 more years of Biden's foreign policy? Can the United States survive and maintain its position as a world superpower with his foreign policy? China and Russia are loving this. And they're now recognizing the Taliban as the rightful leader of Afghanistan. China and Russia are meeting with Taliban officials the last few days to make deals and whatever else they're doing. And remember, China shares a border with Afghanistan. The CCP, they told Taiwan when there is war, not if there's war, but when there is war, that the United States won't be able to help Taiwan, just like they couldn't help Afghanistan. So China, they're flexing, and rightfully so. They know we're weak. They're flying bombers over Taiwan. They want Taiwan. They would not do that under President Trump. Trump made sure of that. He told the president of China, you lay off Taiwan. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to allow it. We look weak as a country now. How can our allies trust us now? How can anyone take us seriously as a powerful military nation, as a world power? And I don't want to hear about we needed to withdraw from Afghanistan. There's a difference, again, between withdrawing the right way and fleeing like little bitches. Downsize? Yes, absolutely. But complete abandonment of the region? Absolutely not. We need to maintain a presence. And no, Afghanistan did not need to fall the way it did. It should not have fell the way it did. But I believe Joe Biden, and I think there are other complicit in it that made that happen. I will say that the Republicans in Congress need to get their heads out of their asses and investigate this major breakdown between the Biden administration, his military joint chiefs, the intelligence community, and the State Department. I mean, who's going to be held accountable for this? Is this just going to be, like it didn't happen? I mean, resignations should have been typed already. There should be resignations on Biden's desk already. General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he needs to resign. The Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, he should resign. And in my opinion, and a lot of others' opinion I've spoken with, Joe Biden needs to resign the presidency because he has failed to lead. Dereliction of duty. He has not led this country. He has weakened this country, and he has severely damaged our national security and put our country and us as American citizens at risk. You know, under Joe Biden, the Democrats do not want to control the border. The Democrats do not want to control crime. The Democrats do not want to stand up to our adversaries. And the Democrats don't want to stand with our allies like Israel. And we saw that recently with Hamas bombing them. We have members of Congress that were rooting for Hamas, rooting for, you know, Palestine to exterminate Israel. Members of Congress, the Jihad Squad. A little drink of water there. Joe Biden and his administration is allowing the United States to be bullied on the world stage. And we've been bullied on the world stage from the start. China started immediately at that summit in Alaska saying, we don't speak from a position of strength. Throwing like Black Lives Matter in our face. And the Taliban is not in any type of position to tell us as a country anything or give the United States any type of ultimatum. The United States is in a position and always will be in a position to tell the Taliban how things are going to go. Well, at least we used to be when we had a real leader. We had a real leader that didn't didn't worry about what people thought of him, who wasn't a politician. Can we bring up the real leader? Can we bring up the Donald Trump photo? There he is. I like this tweet. Back in 2013, no mercy for terrorists, you dumb bastards. Hey, the guy's a master of tweets. I could go for some mean tweets right now instead of this crap. I mean, you can love him or hate him, but you have to know, even if you don't like the man, you have to know deep down inside this would not be going on if he was president of the United States. It would not be going on. I really, really, really feel that way. This was a strong leader. Donald Trump meant business, and he always put America first. Donald Trump did not put up with the attacks on our embassies. No, when it happened, he bombed the crap out of them. He would not have allowed this debacle to happen. You have to miss his commanding presence. Our country was truly safe under Donald Trump. All right, you can get rid of him. Again, what will the Congress Republicans do? Again, will anyone be held accountable? Are they going to have a Afghanistan Abandonment Commission, the Afghanistan Fell Commission, like they had a 9/11 Commission? Now they're having Pelosi's Kangaroo Court January 6th Commission. Are they going to actually have a commission or some type of investigative body actually look into what the breakdown was, which they should? This is actually something that needs to be investigated. Are there impeachable offenses here? I think there are impeachable offenses over the southern border with violation of immigration laws, to be honest with you, but that's another story. And Joe Biden spoke again today. Again, he comes out. He's going to have a second briefing. He's going to answer questions. He's going to set things straight. We're going to hear from our commander-in-chief about Afghanistan. And then he comes out and he doesn't talk about Afghanistan. He talks about COVID and he rips apart GOP governors. That's what he did. He talked about booster shots for the virus. Not one comment about Afghanistan. And then yet again, he walks away. He doesn't take one question because he's not allowed to. He turns his back and he walks away. Turns his back on the American people for the second time. The press is there to report to us, and he won't take any questions. He took questions back in July. He really put his foot in his mouth back then. I will say, though, to the veterans out there, and this is a problem. The veterans, and I know so many of them that spent so much time in Afghanistan. I have a friend, an old friend, who did a total of 27 months in Afghanistan. He's an amazing individual. Brian, if you're out there, you know I'm talking about you. 27 months. And he sent me a message the other day, and he said, 27 months in Afghanistan, bro, and all for nothing. And it wasn't for nothing, okay? First of all, veteran depression, psychological damage, PTSD, ones that suffer from it, this is just going to compound it. Our veterans need our support. They did not serve in vain. They honored our country. All of you veterans out there, you served America and the world in Afghanistan. For 20 years, you provided safety and security not only to the Afghan people, but also to every American who knew we were safe for you being there. Our allies knew we were safer. They were safer for all of you being there. No matter what branch of military you were in, you served with distinction. You should be proud. Don't ever let anybody take that away from you. One idiot's bad decision does not mean your service doesn't go unnoticed and doesn't become less important. It was very important. So don't allow the very bad decisions of establishment politicians take your pride away or diminish the tasks that you all undertook and accomplished amazingly. You all have to know that. So God bless all of our veterans out there and the ones that are out there serving all over the country, all over the world that protect us every day. Listen, enough about this atrocity going on in Afghanistan. It's going to compound the news cycles for the next 2 weeks. There are other things to talk about. I'm not going to keep you for much longer. I just want you to listen, with all the foreign policy conflict going on in the world right now, yes, it's important to pay attention to because it affects our national security and us as people and Americans. However, we cannot let ourselves become distracted with the war, yes, the war at home here, that Democrats have declared on our rights, our liberties, and our children. School is starting soon, people, and we must stay vigilant. We must stand up against these senseless mask mandates for our children and jab mandates for us and our children, and the indoctrination of our children in school with that disgusting critical race theory and the teachings that America is a bad place. Attend a school board meeting and speak up. I'm attending mine tomorrow to stand up for my kid, and I have a lot to say. I have my index cards ready. I'm going to make sure there's video of it to hope I can share it with you. Don't stand on the sidelines wishing you did something. Stand up and fight for your liberties. And most important, stand up and fight, most importantly, for your children. I'm going to leave it there for now. Next week, I'll be back Thursday, live, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be doing this every Thursday. I got some great stuff coming. I have some great interviews coming. They'll be released on an opposite day. Remember, go over to the website to get all the archived episodes, thegreatdivide1776.com. All of my social media is there. Follow me on Facebook. Facebook's been amazing in the terms of the following. Since just last week, I've amassed another 800 or so followers. Thank you so much. Instagram, Twitter, follow, share, subscribe, comment. And as always, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and most of all, people, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.